Take your Bibles and now go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3. Right after the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll be reading the first five verses this evening. I'll read verse number 1. You will join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 5. Galatians chapter 3. Verse number 1, the Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Let's read verse 5 together. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our midst already. Lord, it's been a wonderful day here, Lord, to hear the singing of the songs, Lord, to see the lives being changed, Lord, for those that were saved today. Lord, just thank you for counting us faithful, Lord, putting us into ministry. Lord, thank you for giving us a place like Grace Baptist that we can come. Now, Lord, tonight as we gather around your word, Lord, may we humbly listen to it. Lord, not listening to it out of duty necessarily, Lord, not out of a habit, Lord, but please may we listen with the intent to learn something from your word to make us better, to become more like you. Fill us with your powers. We listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. I want to preach to you tonight for just a little while. I mean this. I don't plan to preach long tonight. I think we have a baptism, and it's just been a good day. But I love the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians is one of my favorite books of the Bible. The church in Galatia was a great church at one time, but now they were dealing with people who had been bringing new doctrines in. They were dabbling in this, you're saved by faith, but you're kept by your works. If they were here today, it would be the church as well. We don't know that you're saved unless we see evidence of it in your salvation by your works. That's the crowd that the book of Galatians was about. May I say this? These are God's words, not man's. God wrote the word of God, not man. Apostle Paul didn't write the book of Galatians. God wrote the book of Galatians. Paul was just a penman that said, okay, God, what do you want said? God spoke the word to him. By the way, the book of Galatians had this, what I call spooky Christianity. This little bit of works and, if we don't see it and if you don't feel it, then, there's no feelings ever mentioned with the Holy Spirit of God. May I say this? God authored salvation. He not only authored it, he's the author and the finisher of it. He was the completer of it, and God didn't change it for anybody. Whether you see evidence of it or not doesn't matter. It's still what God said.
Yes, sir.
As a soul winner and as a preacher, I believe I finally have found that there's really only two beliefs in the world. I could break down religion into two statements. Either you are saved by faith and that alone, or you're saved by yourself and your works. I don't care if it's Christianity, don't care if it's Buddhism, Shintoism, Muslimism, it doesn't matter what it is. It's either by grace through faith or it's by works.
Right.
Period. May I say this? Man's religion has always been about works because man wants to be his own God. Genesis chapter 3. Jesus came and he lived our works for us. When you get saved, not only is your sin washed away, but the righteousness of Christ is imputed into your life. It takes righteousness, not just sinlessness, to get salvation. Well, you can't get your sin washed away by your own blood, and you can't live righteous because you're a sinner. You need both. Now, you can add any denomination, any religion. I don't care what it is. It's either by grace through faith or it's by works. You don't get saved by grace and keep it by works. Let me remind you, there are churches and there are preachers today that say, well, we must take the scriptures as a historical account. When you only view the Bible as a history book, that's all that it is, and you've written God out of it. This is the ever-living words of God. They are as applicable today as they were to the book of Galatians and to the people of Galatia to whom this was penned. It wasn't just intended to be for that time of history. These are the living words of God. They apply to us today exactly as they did almost 2,000 years ago. Now, the question is asked here in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now, that's not talking about a TV show about a genie in a bottle either. That little term, bewitched, it means maligned or falsely represented. In other words, O foolish Galatians, who hath falsely represented salvation to you? Who hath maligned me, God, to you? And God has kind of given them a little kick in the spiritual seat here, if you would allow me to say such. Even if you didn't, I did anyway. He's saying here, who has influenced you the wrong way? What he's really saying is, who has taught you false things in the name of the truth of Christianity? There's a lot of religious people out there. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're teaching wrong doctrine. You can put a suit on a pig, but a pig's still a pig. Sorry. I don't care how well you dress up the pig, it's still a pig. You can put clothes on a dog, which is, I don't get. God gave a dog all the clothes it needs. But there are people who put clothes on dogs, not my dog. But they put clothes on dogs. Guess what? It's still a dog. Well, I put a bow tie on it. Well, you can put a bow tie on it. You can put pink ribbons in its hair. You can do whatever you want. It's still a dog. Can I tell you something? Just because somebody uses religious terminology, it doesn't make them spiritual.
Right.
We have this mindset that because someone says or someone does certain things that they are spiritual. That is not always the case. In other words, there are people who will bewitch you with religion and you think it's spiritual Christianity. If it's not in line with that book, it's not spiritual. Period. Say, preacher, you always go back to that book and say, you're right. Can I tell you why? Because I'm a sinner and so are you. There's no sin in that book. There's sin in my life. There's sin in your life. I may get it wrong. God didn't get it wrong. So I trust God more than I trust people. By the way, people usually get way off on something, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, about things that aren't really in the Bible. They get speculative. You get this, we want to study deep into the Word of God about prophecy. We're going to study things that God didn't even tell us. Can I tell you something? Let's not waste our time on what God didn't tell us. There's plenty in there He did tell us. How about we focus on that? I just happen to believe that if God didn't tell us certain things, there's a reason. I don't care if you can tell me what all the toes on the image and Nebuchadnezzar were and what countries they represented and all the other things. Guess what? That didn't get anybody saved.
Right.
I don't care if you know what the seven bowls and the seven trumpets and the seven vials and the seven, all the different sevens of the book of Revelation are and what order they're coming in. God bless you. That's good. I couldn't name them all just while I'm preaching right now. You say, why? Because that's not important. We're already in heaven by the time that starts.
Yes.
I'm more concerned about keeping somebody out of hell so they don't have to go through that.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? We get into this, well, King David's name meant this. And this name means this. And we get into this name thing. Did you know you don't, most of you don't live up to what your name means? And guess what? As you told me, you had no choice on what you were given as a name. You see, we get into this spookiness of things. God tells us here in Galatians that there are people who believe that they were saved by grace, but that they had to be kept saved by their works. That's what the word perfect means there. It means completed. Doesn't mean sinless. It means completed. Can I tell you something? Either Jesus paid it all or he didn't pay any of it. Either you got all of salvation or you didn't get saved.
Right.
It's that simple. And may I say this, God said that's foolish. God called it a lie. We can also say, because of this, we have no right to judge anybody else's salvation. Everybody look at me for a second here. You have no right to decide if you think somebody's saved or if they're not. None. Well, I don't know how sincere they were. Show me a scripture where it says you have to be sincere. Show me a sincere meter in the scripture. If you realize you're a sinner, that there is a penalty on sin, which is death and hell, and that Jesus Christ paid your penalty for you, and you accept it by faith, God says you're on your way to heaven.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what any other human being says.
That's right.
Well, I don't see any evidence of it. Okay. An apple tree that doesn't bear apples is still an apple tree. Just because it doesn't have fruit doesn't mean it's not an apple tree. Everybody doing okay? God says it's foolish for us to say we're saved by grace and kept by works. It is therefore just as foolish to say I can judge somebody by their works. God tells us we can be bewitched because someone may sound or seem spiritual, but they're totally wrong scripturally. I'm going to give us about 20 minutes and adjust our attitudes and our insight just a little bit here tonight. Number one, it's foolish to think you're saved by faith but kept by works.
Yes.
I didn't say that. God did. God said it's foolish. Do you know what a fool is? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For you to say, I have to live a certain way or I lose my salvation, you're saying, I'm God and what Jesus did is not God. You cannot lose your salvation. I was born 52, almost 53 years ago, May 23rd, 1967. Hush. I was born to Mel and Sue Bush. Guess what? No matter what I do, I was still born to them. I cannot be unborn from them. Sometimes I've made them happy. Many times I have not. There are some things maybe they have been proud of, and I know a whole bunch that they weren't. May I say something? Doesn't matter if I ended up in jail for murder, I'm still their son. Guess what? Jesus said, you must be born again.
If you got saved, you were born again, and you cannot be unborn.
Amen.
This is my son. He may do things that please me. He may do things that don't please me. But guess what? Either way, he's still my son, and he never stops being my son. You may not be an obedient child of God, but you could still be a child of God. Everybody doing all right? Jesus paid the price for us. We cannot pay for our own salvation. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May I say this, when you start judging somebody else's works, you're looking down your pharisaical snoot at somebody, and you think you're better than everybody else. You think you're God. I can't unconceive myself from God. There's no such thing as spiritual abortion. Praise God. Guess what? I don't care whether you obey God or don't obey God. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're not, you're not.
Right.
It's that simple. If Jesus is birth of a virgin, his life that was sinless, his death at Calvary, his resurrection and his blood on the mercy seat, if that was not enough to get somebody saved, none of us are saved and we're all going to burn in hell. It's that simple. It is foolish to think that works have anything to do with salvation. By the way, it's foolish to think that somebody else's salvation is based on it. Let's quit bewitching ourselves, judging. Well, I'm not sure they were saved. Well, who made you God? I've dealt with many people on their dying breath. Some have said, yeah, I'm saved, but man, I didn't live it. Wished I had. There's others, no, I'm going to bust hell wide open. I've watched people go into eternity and burn in hell, and it's some of the most tragic things you can see. I've won others to Christ. Tubes in their throat, couldn't talk, but they could squeeze my hand. Talked to one guy one time, he couldn't squeeze. He was paralyzed, and all he could do is blink his eyes. I went through the gospel with him blinking his eyes. Say, well, did he really get saved? He's just as saved as Jesus was. So, number one, it's foolish to think that we're saved by faith and kept by works. That's what verses 2 and 3 were all about. Number two, many churches and much religion appeal to the flesh and not to the Holy Spirit. Here's where we're going to get a little rougher. Are you ready? I'm going to rub the fur on the cat the wrong way if I succeed. Many churches want seminary teaching pastors, not Bible preaching. People want their minds tickled, not their hearts moved to action. We have turned the average church in America into a college classroom seminary, which is very close to a cemetery. But we think it's some Bible teaching guru knows more about the Bible because he can go word by word through the scripture. But how long has it been since Dr. Fatbottom ever opened up his scriptures and showed somebody how to get saved and saw some lost person get saved? Been around the expository type preaching enough to know they're not soul winning churches. When you start going deep into the word, you quit going deep into the world to reach the lost. There is nothing deeper than Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. We're all sinners and we need to get saved. There's nothing deeper than that in the scripture, I promise you. These churches want to appeal to the intelligent, educated intelligentsia. Instead of old-fashioned sinners kneeling at an altar getting saved. Well, bless God, I've got 2 college degrees. And they don't mean squat unless they're used to get somebody saved. Carry somebody's burden. Get my hands dirty with lost people.
You can take all the college degrees you want, but I'll stand that front door every Sunday morning. Mrs. Lopez and Brother Mike and the workers will bring those bus kids in. For some of them, the only place they ever hear, "I love you," is this church. And I stand there every Sunday and shake every one of their hands. I got a couple of those little bus kids. One of our bus teenagers, the only birthday presents and the only birthday wishes she got was from the ladies in this church this year. Her mother said nothing to her. Folks, you can have all the college degrees you want, but I'll take a young lady like that and watch what God can do with her. I'll take that any day. There are people that in churches that want to study the historical account of the scripture instead of letting it be the living word of God. I love history. Come to my office and look at the books, you'll find out I like history. But the Bible is not a history book. It's the ever-living word of God. Amen. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, you save those which are lost. Let me ask you a question. How many people are being saved in these Bible teaching churches? We have more people saved by accident here than those churches have on purpose. The delivery people now run. I'm not kidding. For some reason, they don't run anywhere else, but they're in a hurry here. Say why? Because they know they're going to get the gospel. It's great. I love it. Watch grown men run and cower for Mrs. Barnes because, man, she's got her Bible and tracks out, buddy. She's Johnny on the spot. Woe be to them if they got to get something signed. She's learned, hold on to that pen wipe before you sign. You see, these churches want high class, highbrow teaching. Well, can I tell you something? I'm nobody's idiot. I think I know the scriptures better than the average. There's a person in this church that's been to denominational seminary. They have told me time after time after time, they have gotten more Bible teaching in one sermon than they got in an entire semester of seminary. I happen to know what most churches teach. It's weak as water. I'm just going to say it. Music in many churches appeals to the flesh and it doesn't appeal to God. Music in most churches appeals to the flesh, not to God. Thank God Brother Josh is our music director. All the music has to go through certain scrutiny before it's ever done here at our church. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. I'll tell you what it is. All music has to pass what I call the age test. We don't do music that's not at least 25 years old. He brought me some music recently. They're not bad songs, but they're not old enough, and I said no. But preacher, they're good songs. Yeah, they're good songs, but I'm not going to break the rule just because it's a good song. It's not been proven long enough. Everybody doing okay? Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time music. And by the way, we're not going to have Follow the Bouncy Ball. We're going to sing Nothing But the Blood. You say, well, that's such a bloody religion. Yeah, thank God for the blood. It's by the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I'll take the song my wife sang this morning, The Love of God. Whew, man, what a song. All music has to pass the style test. We're not going to have the honky-tonk music. Okay? It's not going to be Johnny Cash in the nightclub on Saturday night and in the church house on Sunday morning. And when you sing, you're supposed to hit the notes and not slide up into it. This isn't Tammy Wynette. It's the gospel music. Everybody doing all right?
Okay, I'm not afraid of it. And by the way, I'm not against some of what the world calls cultured music, but if it sounds like some fat woman in spandex howling and yodeling at an opera house, I want it in church. If you got to tighten the spandex to get up there, it's not going to be in church. Sorry. You say, well, that's cultured. We'll get to that in a second. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's a little new style out in churches today that bothers me. They've taken the old songs and they've changed the timing to it to where it's very off and you don't even recognize the songs anymore. We're not changing it that way. Number next, many churches want to be culturally acceptable. How about God acceptable? They want their technology. How about the Holy Spirit? I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than a holy computer. Or a holy screen. They want... and I know independent churches that are doing this, and I'm not saying it's sinful, but bless God, we're not going to have animated... movie time for church announcements. Churches now today are playing their announcements on their movie screens and having all kinds of animation and having different people get up there and record all these and do all this stuff. So, and they do it during the offering time so they can save time so people can get to the restaurant before the Catholics. God help us. Sorry, I'm not going that direction. I don't want country club Christianity. I want God-blessed Christianity. Don't be bewitched by culture. By the way, the root word of culture is the word cult. Remember that. It's an emphasis of the flesh. Everybody doing okay? Many churches have gone to denominational worship instead of having church. You'll notice on the sign it doesn't say Sunday morning worship. I challenge you, go from cover to cover and find one public worship service in there. It's not there. Worship is private between you and God. Worship is you telling God how great and how wonderful. I call it kind of making, having a little bit of love in the time with God. It's you adoring God for what he is. And telling God how wonderful he is. There's no public worship in scripture. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't have public worship services. Worship is temple. Jesus did away with the temple and started the church. It was the temple crowd who crucified Jesus. That was the crowd he was getting rid of. They have their fleshly worship and praise services, their dance teams. Everybody doing all right? They're the ones that let's all hold hands with everybody and sing kumbaya. They're the ones that want to cancel church because people are too busy. So, well, it's a holiday. It's Christmas was on a Wednesday or a Sunday, so let's cancel church because it's a holiday. Lord have mercy. Let's celebrate your birthday and not invite you to the party. That's what that's like. Let's be community service minded more than biblically minded. I'm for being a good influence in our community. I believe we ought to be a good influence in our community, but not at the sake of quitting our soul winning and our standards. I know a church in another state that was running over 2,000 people. Pastor just recently got up and preached a sermon why it's wrong to have hard preaching. They got rid of soul winning and have started their community service outreach. And it's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Number next. Don't be bewitched to think you know more about the Bible than the man of God. I don't think of myself to be somebody that's somebody, but I'm going to name some names and some places here. Hang on.
I'm not afraid of it. Someone who uses the wrong Bible is not a man of God. Did you hear that? Someone who uses the wrong Bible is not a man of God. Charles Stanley is not a man of God. Chucky Swindoll is not a man of God. Grantham Graham, Franklin Graham, is not a man of God. Say, I don't think you ought to call names. I don't care. When you're using the wrong Bible, guess what? You're not using God's word, you're using man's. Generally, you're using man's methods and not God's methods too. They may be religious, but they're not using the right Bible. How can you call yourself a man of God if you're not using the word of God? Be careful who you listen to on the radio. Someone wrong on salvation is not a man of God. I said it just last week. I'll say it again. Someone who preaches that you get saved by turning from your sin is preaching works salvation. Repentance means this. You are trusting your own righteousness and your own goodness, and you turn to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not turning from your sin because you're a sinner. You are turning from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The act of repentance is the act of salvation. It is not a turning away from sin. That's where these reprobates get up and say, well, you didn't turn away from your sin, so you didn't mean it, so you really didn't get saved. My Bible says that is judging somebody by works. Look at the disciples, how much they sinned, and they were with Jesus. They were believing in ghosts at a couple points in time. Everybody doing all right? A man of God needs to be separated from those headed in the wrong direction. Did you hear what I just said? A man of God needs to separate himself from those headed in the wrong direction. I don't hang around people that are going the wrong direction. If I'm in line with this book, I'm going this direction with the book. If somebody's facing me going the other direction, why would I want to turn around and go away from God? Okay, hold your ears and your nose. Here it comes. I don't associate with the likes of Paul Chappell from West Coast Baptist College in California. Say why? Purpose-driven church. By the way, I know him. I know his family. He has the purpose-driven church philosophy, and it's not a biblical philosophy. I don't run with preachers who send their church members to professional counselors because they need professional help. Well, get out of the ministry if you're not a professional to helping people with the Word of God. Amen. You won't find any better psychology than the God that created man. Amen. A sinner studying another sinner doesn't do real well, but the God who made that sinner's got the answer better than some psycho who's on drugs. Amen. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. By the way, I don't associate with colleges that are going that direction. The college I graduated from doesn't want anything to do with me, and I don't want much to do with them. They've changed direction. I don't get called and invited to go back. And I taught there. It's all right. Say, does that hurt you, preacher? It saddens me that people are going the wrong direction, but I'm not changing the direction. That's good. They're the ones that changed. I didn't. I don't associate with colleges that aren't directly linked to a local independent Baptist church. I will not recommend our kids go to Pensacola Christian College, or as Brother Hiles used to call it, Pepsi-Cola. There is no local church there. They have campus church. That's denominational.
That's saying education is more important than the man of God and the house of God. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not my college. He promised divine perpetuity to the church, not to the schools. And I've been involved in education a long time. I know pastors who are more interested in fellowships than they are soul winning. I know pastors that have to go to at least one pastor's fellowship a month to get charged up enough so they don't get depressed, so they don't quit the church. Why don't you quit the ministry and get an honest job? If I've got to run from conference to conference and meeting to meeting just to get encouraged, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't have much of a walk with God. I don't look real discouraged, do I? And I haven't been to a church fellowship of pastors in so long, it's not even funny. Matter of fact, thank God I'm free, free, free. Number three, don't be bewitched to think that you cannot fall to wrong doctrine. Be careful. Don't read bad doctrine. Don't read bad doctrine. Don't read those who run with those who have bad doctrine and bad ways.
What's that jerk?
Sorry, I didn't say that. But there's a guy out there that sounds to be real spiritual, but he's a real spiritual idiot, a guy named Steve Anderson. He's a heretic. Stay as far away from him as you can. Steve Anderson has damnable doctrines. Now, he'll appeal to you. He has the right words to say to lure you in, but once you get in, he's got a hook in you that it will tear you up, and I've watched him destroy people. I don't run with people who are critical. I work very hard not to be critical. Say, well, preacher, you named names tonight. You had to warn my people. I don't live this way. And I don't run with those who run with people that I disagree with. I have friends who run with people that I just mentioned that I take a half step back from. I'm still their friend, but I'm not going to bring them here, and I'm not going to go take you to them. Because I'm not sure where they're going to land when they're running with that crowd. Everybody doing okay? So, well, you're just too dogmatic and too separated. I'd rather be too far that direction than too close to the wrong.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Well, you're going to be pretty lonely, preacher. I'm having the time of my life. I don't need 14,276 preachers to encourage me. I've got the Word of God and I've got our church. What else do I need?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Let's not be bewitched. Let's not be fooled. Let's not be lured in. Again, don't read back bad doctrine. Don't listen to people on the radio who have bad doctrine. Oh, I just love how they sound. They sound so spiritual. Gag. I've heard so many excuses. If they're using the wrong Bible, don't listen to them. If they have bad doctrine, don't listen to them. Don't read their doctrine. It's really simple. I can stomach just a little bit of what they call Christian radio. Usually it's Brother Roloff. You say, why the others? Because most of them have bad doctrine. They want to judge your salvation. They want to see you churn from your sin to get saved. Show me that in there. Be careful. I'm not telling you I'm the only man of God. But I will tell you this. We're going to follow that book pretty close.
That's good.
As close to it as we can get. And if I tell you something that's not in there, you got my permission, just leave.
Amen.
The day I get up and say, folks, we're changing things, is the day you ought to get up and leave. I'm too stubborn, too old, and I've been at it too many years. 39 years of preaching this way, I'm not going to change. I started in the ministry this way, just figured I'm going to die going in the blaze of glory. I'm not going to change it. Say why? Because it hasn't changed. God's method hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. Hey, let's not be bewitched by religious people. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I need to be. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I've trusted Christ. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a minute, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the piano will begin to play. If you raised your hand and the Lord's working on your heart, how about you come at an old-fashioned altar and kneel? If you couldn't kneel at the altar, maybe just kneel there at your chair or stay in your seat. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We'll take care of that tonight. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. I didn't pull no punches. Here it is. It's an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church.